morning and welcome to Focus 580, our morning talk show. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to welcome back to this program the man that we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and for some time now, he has been stopping by once a month, always on a Wednesday, the first Wednesday, to talk about cooking. We always have a good time when he is here, picking some kind of topic and talking about the various ways that you could approach that dish. We talked about different specific dishes, cooking from different parts of America and from different parts of the world. And we invite people to call in with questions, comments, recipes. We've also done some culinary troubleshooting here. Occasionally, we've had people call in and say, look, I'm trying to make this, and it's just not working. Do you think that I'm doing something wrong? How might I go about it differently? So we've done those sorts of things. And we thought this time around we would talk about Asian noodles. So if you have a recipe, you can call in. But, you know, if you just wanted to call, say hi, you could do that. That would be perfectly fine. 333-9455. We also do have a toll-free line, and that's good. Anywhere that you can hear us, that is 800-222-9455. Well, it's good to have you back.
Thank you. Thanks. I'm very happy to be here, as a matter of fact.
And indeed it is. I was thinking about this because just earlier this past winter, I guess, for the first time ever, I made pad thai.
Oh, yes.
And I thought, hey, this is pretty good. I thought it was pretty good, and particularly like the fact that since it's a thing that you do in the wok on top of the stove, all of the work is in the prep. Once you get everything all made and set out, cooking it takes just a couple of minutes.
Really, yeah.
And as we're now, we're eventually here, we're going to get to the point where it's going to be warm. And I don't want to turn the oven on, so I'm looking for things that I can make on top of the stove. So based on my pad thai success, I thought, well, now, surely there are other things kind of like that that would be interesting to explore. So that's why I said, well, maybe we could talk about
good
Asian noodles.
I like the variety of noodles. I know that I haven't tried them all, but noodles are quite a bit of Asian cooking. My favorite, one that I really thrill to, is soba. And I think you mentioned that you hadn't really dealt with soba very much.
Noodles. Japanese buckwheat noodles.
I've even made them. I make them using a spaghetti recipe with buckwheat flour, but I found that I need to add some white flour to it and an egg. And then I can make a soba noodle, a fresh soba noodle that holds up to the boiling, because the soba flour, the buckwheat flour that we get, has some little husks in it that I don't find in all, except I've always thought that was kind of an integral part of buckwheat flour, you know, those little black flecks, but they also would cause the thing to break. So I said, okay, I'll take care of that. So I started sifting the flour. Well, don't ever try to sift buckwheat flour. You'll never get it done. It'll never be what you want. So just give up and use some other flour with it. And the way I like soba noodles is just cold. I like them cold. And I just got off the phone about a half hour ago with Shozo Sato, so I have the latest recipe of the way, and his soba noodles are very, very, very good. But you have to buy a brand of a sauce called meme sauce. And that is mixed with water and with about a quarter of an inch of wasabi that you squeeze out of a tube. Don't get the dry stuff and try to make it. It'll kill you. And you don't want so much all the time. And a quarter of an inch squeezed out of a tube is just perfect. And ground ginger and chopped green onions. And that makes that meme sauce. And then that goes into a little cup of some sort that there is a special soba eating cup. Of course, wouldn't I have three from the Ming Dynasty? And I love having these early Ming cups with the sauce in them. And then the soba noodle is simply cooked, and then as soon as it's done, put it under cold water so that it starts cooling it, chilling it. And then it's piled on top of a mat, a little square mat that's in a little square box. It's really such an elegant thing. And then this Ming Dynasty pot right here. And you pick up the noodles with your chopsticks, dip them long. They'll be long. They'll be 8 inches long. You dip them into the sauce and you come up and slurp them. That is something good. And it's very easy to find. I found it mostly in department stores in Japan. So, oh boy, I would be happy if I went to the lunch counter of a department store. Oh yes, cold soba, please.
Oh, right.
And all of those tastes are right. And soba is probably very good for you because it probably has the fibers that you would need. And the commercial kind of soba noodles probably don't have any white flour in them, in case you're playing Mr. Adkins. I don't know what Mr. Adkins says about soba noodles, but I should think he would enjoy them because they're a grain and they're not white wheat.
Okay.
I enjoy them.
All right. Well, that's what we're doing here this morning, talking about enjoying Asian noodles. And if you have questions or if you have a recipe to share, give us a call. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. We have a caller here in southeastern Illinois on our toll free line. Line 4, right here. Hello.
Yes, I called in early because when you said Asian noodles, are you talking anything like those ramen noodles that sell?
Yes, indeed. Yes,
dollar?
Indeed. Ramen noodles are now. We get them dried here, but they're fresh in Japan, and ramen noodles are everywhere. But
they're dirt cheap. Five packages per pack.
They're dirt cheap. They are, and you cook those the way they say, if you can. Yeah, nowadays all the instructions are bilingual, I think. There was a long period of time when I had to figure out the picture that implied that you cooked it for 3 minutes on the top of a stove. That was a good picture to figure out. You cook the noodles separately, and then you put in the packet of spices that is with it, and that gives a very good flavor to the juice and then cooks into the noodles a little bit. And then I like to add extra things to it. And one of the favorite things that they do in Japan is to serve that and then break an egg in the top so that the raw egg is cooked with the hot soup, and you end up with a cross between sort of an egg drop soup kind of thing and a poached egg or a coddled egg.
You mean you just drop an egg into the top of the liquid? I mean,
after you serve it into a bowl, break an egg on top of that, and then let it sort of cook the way you want it. But also to stir it up while it's still fresh and break the yolk and stir it around will also add some body to it. Then. A lot, quite frequently, folks will chop, especially if they have any leftover roast pork, and nearly every Asian cook has a lot of roast pork left over, and they'll either shred it or very, very, very thin slices and put that in it, and some chopped green onions, and the ramen noodles can go in almost any direction.
Now, the instructions usually... according to the amount of water you put in it, whether you've got soup or a side dish.
I don't think I've ever run into that distinction because I'm always using it. Well,
I mean it had. I mean the ones that I've seen, the
yes.
ones that I've gotten have instructions. If you put so much water in, you've got soup, and if you put so much water in, you've got it's a side dish to something.
I eat it as a little entree, but then I have a soup spoon with it because I take the juice with the spoon, take the noodles out and the meat out with chopsticks, and then eat the soup. So I've never made that distinction as to which I'm having, because generally it's only a bowl of ramen. But I am just amazed at how inexpensive it is, and then they have sales and it goes down 50% more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very handy thing to have. And I think I don't think that there's anything in it that would give you any problem because, well, in the first place, there isn't a whole lot. Not a whole lot of stuff.
What are the ramen noodles made of?
They are made of flour, and I think that it might be wheat flour because unless there's some soybean flour in some of them, I'm not exactly certain. The ramen noodles, fresh mushrooms are good to put in on that, but I like shiitake mushrooms that are dried better because I like the flavor of a dried shiitake mushroom, and those are put in and can be boiled to the last few minutes. It's a great gatherer of whatever you've got, and then that makes it how you like to eat it. But I'm very fond of ramen noodles, yes.
Well, I'll continue to listen. Thank you.
Good.
Well,
you'll enjoy that.
I think probably the only complaint that some people have about the prepackaged ramen noodles is that if you use all of the packet of seasoning that's provided, it can be pretty salty.
It would be very salty.
So either you can just use less, I suppose.
Yes.
Or I think last month a caller called in and said that she had found a particular brand that she liked that was much lower
in sodium
than the average.
Yes.
So that could also be the thing as if you're at the store and they have several brands, it's going to tell you how much sodium is there. So read the package
and
pick the one that's lowest if that's what you want.
Do you remember... And I'll get it wrong. The movie. Is it Tempopo?
Tempopo. Oh yes.
Tempopo.
About the woman who has
the
noodle shop.
Yes, that was ramen noodles that she was making and serving. And remember, it was how carefully you made the sauce. That was what the soup that went with that. That was the real kicker that everyone, oh, gotta have that. And because the making of the noodles was pretty straightforward, but it was the secret of her soup. Whether I think hers was chicken and pork. Seems to me that that's what I came away with anyway, that it was a combination of chicken and pork. Those are fresh ramen noodles, and that's what you generally get in Japan anyway with at a fresh noodle shop will be those ramen noodles. But as I say, soba is another one, and soba used to be sold. You didn't make your own. You waited until the soba man came around, and you bought the soba noodles from him. But just with that light sauce of meme. Now, I'm sorry, I'm jumping back and forth because I'm thinking about two or three levels of things at once. You could ignore most of the spices in that packet and use things like a low-sodium soy sauce and maybe a little bit of oyster sauce just as a taste, and then probably a tiny bit of sesame oil and probably some ground ginger and chopped green onions, ginger. Oh, and yes, you could use wasabi in that too. Be pretty much the same as the meme sauce is already made, but you can make those combinations. One of the most difficult things about cooking Asian style, at least this is for me, the most difficult thing, is that almost every dish contains almost everything all the time. The only trouble is it's different proportions. Uh-huh. And you have to understand what those proportions are because I always laughed at Shozo. His sauce is 1:1:1. One water, one soy sauce, one cup of sugar. Those three things are the basis of what he always starts with. And so he just calls it his 1:1:1 sauce. But if you did something 2:1, then that all of a sudden goes into another direction. And what you recognize then is that these basic things that you have are going to probably be used in some amount with everything. And so I get confused because I keep thinking of the content. What is in it? And, of course, he's thinking of the form of what it is that he's making, something that's very thin and watery with very little salt in it, or something that's very heavy with shoyu and very little sugar, or something that's a lot of sugar. And the answer when you say, well, gee, but these are all the same thing except they're different proportions. Yes. And that's as far as I get. And then I just throw my hands up and use recipes. I follow recipes. I cannot be an intuitive cook in Asian style. It bothers me. But I'll survive. I have so far.
We have some other folks to talk with. Downs is our next caller. Line number 4 right here. Hello.
Hello. I have a lobster lo mein. Excuse me, a lobster lo mein salad.
Oh, great.
And it uses a half a cup of cooked lobster, and the dressing is quite flavorful, so if you like that ersatz lobster or even crab, you could use it probably.
Mm-hmm.
And a tablespoon of Japanese hijiki seaweed. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't. Hijiki seaweed, yes.
Correct. It looks like little black twigs.
Okay. And yes, I recognize it now.
And it needs to be soaked in about a half a cup of boiling water.
And does it turn green?
No, it stays
black.
And it's beautiful.
Hijiki seaweed. Uh-huh. I'll find that, yes, in boiling water.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
For about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you toss it with 2 teaspoons of soy sauce.
Now, low sodium, or does it make any difference?
It doesn't matter. I mean, that's up to you. I usually use the regular, but
yes,
that's up to you. A tablespoon of sugar.
1 big tea of sugar.
And a teaspoon of sesame oil.
And a little tea of sesame oil.
And then you need...
Is that toasted? Sesame oil?
Yeah, the garnishing.
The browner one, yes.
Right. And a half a pound or so of snow peas.
Half a pound of snow peas.
And they need to be parboiled.
Okay.
And the way I do that is I cook a package of Chinese noodles, which is what it calls for, the fresh wheat noodles.
The fresh ones, okay.
That you can find in the
cooler, yes.
Yeah. And I cook that. I put the snow peas into a colander.
Yes.
I cook the noodles, and then I just drain them, pouring that boiling water into into a colander, but with the peas underneath.
Underneath, yes.
So that you just use that hot water to very lightly, you know, pre-cook them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, how many fresh noodles?
Just one of those packages.
Okay, one package.
Yeah. And you want to cool and drain both of those. Cold water and...
Okay.
Yeah. Get them dried off. Shred the snow peas.
Shred them.
Mm-hmm. And toss the noodles with another couple of teaspoons of sesame oil and a little bit of salt.
Sesame, yes.
And let them sit. And then there is a dressing.
Okay.
Which is 2 garlic cloves, minced, smashed, pressed, whatever you want to do with it. A teaspoon of finely grated fresh ginger.
One teaspoon of ginger, yes.
A tablespoon of sugar.
Brown or white?
White, but I think you could use brown if you want to. Half a teaspoon of crushed red peppers.
Half a little tea of red pepper. Yep.
3 tablespoons of Asian fish sauce.
3 tablespoons of nam pla.
Nam pla, nuk nam.
That's the only one I know.
The Filipino one is patis.
Patis, yes, mm-hmm. Patis, I recognize.
They all would work. I use patis just because we lived in the Philippines and that's the one I have.
Oh, yes.
3 tablespoons of lime juice.
3 big teas of lime, yes.
A tablespoon of soy sauce.
1 tea of soy.
And 5 tablespoons of water.
5 big teas of water, all right.
And then you simply, I tend to dress all the ingredients separately a little bit. And take out a little bit, save a few of the snow peas, a little bit of the hijiki, and the lobster. Toss everything else together.
Oh, all right. And save some of those on the side, yes.
So that you garnish with those.
Oh, all right.
Toss everything else together with the dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on a plate. Garnish it and put the lobster on top. Garnish it with the little bit of snow peas and a little bit of hijiki. And then add about a quarter cup of chopped fresh cilantro.
1/4 cup of cilantro.
And some peanuts.
Oh, yes. And chopped peanuts.
And that's it.
That sounds really good.
It is delicious, and it is beautiful. You have the green snow peas and the red of the lobster and the just black, shiny black of the hijiki.
Yes.
Just.
And then the filler of this then is the fresh noodles.
Right.
And then so this is all chilled. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I'm interested in your dressing because this is very much like one that I was going to give a Hunan style of hot and sour dressing. Oh, there's no vinegar in it. Okay.
No, this one has the
lime juice instead. So it's very similar. That's really good. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I love the lime juice with those flavors.
That sounds pretty good. Yes. Would you ever push it a little more and put grated lime zest in it?
I don't see any reason why you couldn't. I think it would be probably delicious.
And then I have my my lime tree. What is that lime tree you use in Thailand cooking? That kaffir. I have a kaffir lime tree, and the leaves are.
Oh, the ones where you use the leaves.
Yes, and I have those fresh. I envy myself for that.
Because and that, I envy you.
That is an exotic taste, the kaffir lime leaves. Love it.
The other thing I wish I could have is calamansi, which is the, do you know what it is?
No, I don't.
It's a little fruit. It's about, an inch, maybe an inch and a half round. It's green. Sometimes it's a citrus, sometimes tending to orange. Very seedy, and it has kind of the flavor, boy, it's hard. Orange, lime, lemon, and very tart.
That sounds almost like kumquats.
Well, yeah, it's not like kumquats.
It's not like that at all. Okay.
It's and they make primarily they use it for garnish in the Philippines.
Oh,
squeezing it onto things, or they excuse me. They make a juice out of they call it calamansi juice, but it's. It's really like a lemonade. You know, where you use a sugar water and add the flavoring to it.
That sounds great. Well, lobster. I'm interested in now is the hijiki is it kind of crunchy at all when you?
Not really. It really. Well, yeah, I guess it is, but it.
Because I like that particular texture in seaweed is just a little bit of crunch to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. It's really primarily there, I think, for looks.
Oh, well, it is a textural difference.
But it is beautiful. I mean,
yes.
You know, that shiny dark black. There aren't too many things that are that dark black.
I'm going to look for that, other than my black sesame seeds.
Right, that's true.
Used for the same reason, decorate. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks very much. We're at our midpoint here.
Wow.
We have some other callers we'll get right to. Our guest, this is the man we like to call our chef in residence. Ladies and gentlemen, it's purely an honorary title. But for a long, long time, he's been stopping by here once a month on the first Wednesday, and we talk about food. And
would you believe 27 years?
No. No, I refuse to think about it.
Don't. Then.
I won't. we're always happy to see him, and we always have a good time when he's here. This time around, we're talking about Asian noodles, so maybe you have a recipe to share. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. The next caller is on our line number one in West Champaign. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Doyle.
Hello.
David, you have an excellent memory. That was me last month.
I know. Yes, indeed.
And, in fact, it's Thai noodles ramen.
Oh, okay.
Thai. It's Thai Kitchen puts them out in little packets.
Yes.
So they are rice noodles. And the sodium is about 450 milligrams per packet, in opposed to nearly 1,000.
Oh, yes.
in the ramen, which are wheat noodles usually.
Yeah.
Thai
no,
kitchen.
That was a good – I appreciated the recommendation because I'm sure that a lot of people just – for them, the they like the idea of the convenience of the product that's so easy to make, and yet it's has so much sodium. Now, I guess you can just use some of the – you know, don't put all of the packet in there, or you could even use a low-sodium chicken broth, I suppose, to cook your noodles. And there are different ways you can do it.
You can, but I think the invaluable thing that you said, Doyle, is clean out the refrigerator for your bowl.
Well, yeah. You know, every recipe that I find ends up being another variety of what I think is, well, you can do it. I don't like garbage cooking.
No.
I don't like to do that. And this comes very close to it because you're so free to do anything that you can accommodate. Slices of ham, slices of chicken,
earlier this year I was very ill after some surgeries, and for some reason the Thai noodle ramen was the only thing that I felt like eating.
Oh, interesting. Yes.
Mm. And I knew I needed protein to heal, and the only thing that I'd really tolerate was pieces of egg or shreds of leftover chicken or pork chop or something in with the ramen.
Now, you've just mentioned egg. That's another thing of making a very, very, very thin kind of omelet. You don't stir it up. And then you roll it up and then chop it in shreds, and then that's a garnish as well. And it's a totally different expectation because it isn't a moist egg. It's a little firmer, and that's another one of the things that is in just in 20 of the 27 dishes that you may know.
The other thing I'd like to recommend is bean thread noodles.
Oh, of course, along
with a variety of rice sticks and other rice noodles.
Yes,
bean thread noodles, and besides cooking the rice stick noodles with some of the wider bonfon noodles, you can get them all the way from the cooked texture to just simply leaving them soaking in hot water,
and they'll
have a little more toothsomeness to them.
The bean thread noodles are sometimes, well, I guess they're all called bean thread, but sometimes, I know what I'm saying. In Hawaii, the bean thread noodles are called long rice.
Yes.
And a long rice. I have the recipe. I was going to try to get. It was one of my favorite recipes. Is long rice and chicken. And
have you ever puffed them up in
oil? Oh, yes. In the first place, it's magic.
Oh,
it's
yes.
absolute magic. And the second place, it is a filler for a salad that you just can't get over. But it takes 2 seconds, David, to cook a bean thread. And in hot oil in your wok, you just throw
it in,
and it goes woof. And then you carefully take them out, put the next ones in, woof, it's all gone, and you end up with this great big pile of styrofoam. and then use that to make a chicken salad, and then use the dressing that we just got. You know, one with enough oil and enough soy sauce and enough ginger and all those tastes, and use that as a dressing. And then you add other things to it.
There is something I will recommend they have out at Meijer. I stopped an Asian lady because I wanted to learn more about unusual produce, being the Westerner I am. There's this thing called narrow grass. It looks like grass waving in the breeze. It's long grass.
Yes, yes.
And it has a mild scallion-y taste. And she told me it's used chopped up in things like fried rice, lo mein, noodles.
I see. I have some of that growing in my yard. I call it Chinese chives.
Yeah, that's very much what it's like.
It's very much like that. And they are good for you for recognizing that that's a wheat leaf. No one else would know that.
And also there's yard-long beans.
And yard-long beans, yes.
And it sounds like very funny, but they taste like bean beans, but greener. They taste greener.
Kind of a different freshness, not...
Yeah, they're very good.
My guess is probably one of the reasons is you don't cook them for 4 hours in hog fat. like you're supposed to cook green beans till they turn gray. God, they're good. No! Don't turn your nose up at that. That is wonderful.
Oh, okay.
It is wonderful, and I do mean 4 hours, and it can even be from the can green beans and start cooking them and have some ham bone or fresh side pork or something like that, and let them just cook and cook and cook and cook until they turn wrinkled and gray. Oh, and the juice with them is absolute heaven. Well, that's my Southern background.
It's a pork fat thing.
Pork fat.
my childhood idea of vegetables was my mom put a box of frozen vegetables in a quart of water and boiled them for an hour.
I
grew up with now. I use fresh vegetables until they're crisp.
Yes.
Still have color, so it's an anti-childhood reaction for me.
Well, I generally cook my green beans very, very little, and they are crisp and such. But sometimes, especially Thanksgiving, I sort of switch back to, I think we'll start this way. In fact, I'm using up other people's time. I'm sorry.
Well, there's no one holding right at the moment, so you can go.
Oh, I'm having such a good time. But I remember one Thanksgiving, I got fresh green beans, snapped them and did everything, started cooking them late at night because I wanted them to cook for a period of time and maybe part of the next day. And somebody came over. We ate them, and I had to go make some more for the next day. I mean, they'd cooked for about 4 hours. The young man was from Georgia, so you might guess.
It was like home. Yeah.
Oh, it was. It was home, and we were anticipating eating Thanksgiving Day. I mean, the two of us devoured about 2 pounds of beans. I had to go get more.
Well, I can understand that. There's home things that you do that are just
passionate.
Comfort food.
Yep.
Comfort food.
It brings a great comfort. Well, I like that. Well, thank you for all your help.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thai kitchen noodles.
All right. Well, we have time for other callers. Certainly, we have about 20 minutes left in this part of Focus. We're talking about Asian noodles with the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. So if you have a recipe to offer, that'd be great. 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line, and that one is good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. Talking about Asian noodles, the nice thing about them is, as I said in the promotional announcement, there's a terrific flexibility here. You can have them hot, you can have them cold, you can boil them, you can stir-fry them, and that there are noodles, different kinds of Asian noodles, that are made out of all kinds of different
out of various things, yes.
Soybeans, wheat, rice.
Mung beans. The bean thread salad is made out of mung beans.
All kinds of different things.
I have a recipe, and this is one I really wanted to get on.
Yes.
This is the chicken long rice. It is so good. A bundle of long rice, in which it ends up looking like a skein of yarn. Mm-hmm. And so one bundle of long rice, which will be a plenty, 3 dried mushrooms, and I again would porcinis would be awfully good, but I'm so fond of dried shiitakes with this taste, and 2 pounds of chicken pieces, salt and garlic, and that's the main part. Okay, soak the long rice and the mushrooms in the water, in warm water, separately for 30 minutes. Cut the chicken into 2-inch pieces, sprinkle with salt. Remove the stems of the mushrooms and wash in salt water and cut those into strips. Then you heat some oil, saute the chicken, some garlic, a small crushed root of garlic, and ginger, and add the mushrooms and water to all that, and then simmer for about an hour. So that's cooking the chicken with the flavor of garlic and ginger and the mushrooms and then their water, which has the flavoring in it as well. Then you drain the long rice. Now, you see, long rice doesn't have to be boiled. You can just put it in water, and it will hydrate. But you take that and chop it up a little bit. I don't know if it's why it's – I want it longer than that because I like long rice long. But it's cut into about 3-inch long pieces. Add to the chicken mixture and then simmer that for 15 more minutes. I do not add monosodium glutamate, which it asks for here. Then a gravy is made by combining sugar and cornstarch and shoyu, probably a tablespoon of shoyu, half a cup of water, tablespoon of cornstarch, and 2 teaspoons of sugar, just a little sweet gravy. And bring that to a boil and add chopped green onions as a garnish when you put together the chicken long rice and then the juices that went with that, and then garnish it with the green onions on top. And that is a party dish in Hawaii.
And in case people are confused here, we're talking about the Chinese bean thread noodles, or sometimes called cellophane noodles.
Yes,
and it's just noodles. That in Hawaii they
call
that
long rice.
But it is noodles we're talking
it's
about.
It's noodles. Here. Yes, it's okay. Not rice. It's noodles, and the bean threads are the ones that will work. The ones we just talked about changing into styrofoam. But I found that a very easy thing to do because the noodles are softened, and then you just simply cook the chicken to what you want, and you could probably find other ways of doing that, but that's pretty basically what it is. In fact, I think, am I thinking about that or not? I believe there was one recipe in Hawaii that used coconut milk, or maybe I'm thinking of lau lau. Lau lau, I'm sure has coconut. Oh, it does. Yes, chicken lau lau has coconut milk. No, don't put coconut milk in long rice. It's been a while since I've made this, but I enjoy doing it. Chicken long rice.
Okay. Well, if anybody else listening here has comments, questions, suggestions, has a recipe they'd like to contribute, it's very easy for you to just give us a call. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. And we're talking about Asian noodles. So you gave the Hawaiian recipe. And I think you also said that you had one that was a Chinese recipe that was sort of like the Philippine one that the lady from Downs had.
There's a couple of things a little bit different. This is a little more complex, but oh gosh, is it good? It is so good. It starts with 2 tablespoons of crunchy peanut butter, and I do like that. You can use tahini. Sesame seed paste, but I do like the crunchy style peanut butter. I'm a crunchy peanut butter fan. I have switched a lot of people from creamy to chunky, by the way. And speaking of that, did you know, I just found out recently, that Smucker's bought, was it Skippy peanut butter? Might have been Skippy.
Really?
And they're putting out, and Smucker's is putting out their own no hydrogenated oils, fresh, a wonderful fresh peanut butter that the oil rises
well,
to that, the top.
Well, they seems to me like they always did have one of those peanut butters where the oil rose to the top when you bought it. Was that Smucker's did? Yeah, I kind of think so.
I'm not sure. I just heard that they had bought the peanut butter, and I've just been able to get it of recent.
Okay.
I've never found it before. Anyway, that's the one I use, is crunchy.
So what do you do with that oil on top? Do you pour it off? Or do you try to mix it up?
No. I do mix it up with a knife. You have to get a big, strong, heavy knife and reach clear down and stir it up. And you'll probably have to do that twice, once at the very beginning and then once at the very end, because you won't have gotten all of the tight stuff at the bottom. You just can't do it. So anticipate doing it again. And I kind of like it. Okay. 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, 2 tablespoons of soy sauce, 4 tablespoons of vinegar, and I do like the rice vinegar for that. It's not quite as strong. 1 tablespoon of red hot pepper oil. Now that is a sesame oil with red hot peppers. It's a Chinese product, and then 1 teaspoon of hot red pepper powder, which is just ground pepper, red pepper, 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper, then 1 teaspoon of sugar, and I do like to use brown sugar in that, 1 tablespoon of sesame oil, which is the regular brown sesame oil, 2 tablespoons of vegetable oil, and I use canola, 1 tablespoon of finely minced fresh ginger, and 1 tablespoon of finely minced garlic, and 1 tablespoon of finely minced scallions, 1 tablespoon of white wine, a teaspoon of hot mustard, and you could use the dry mustard, and a half a teaspoon of salt, and 1 to 2 cups of chicken broth. So that evens everything. So you've got soy sauces, vinegars, hot pepper, sugar, sesame oil, vegetable oil, and ginger, garlic, and scallions, white wine, and hot mustard, and then even that out with chicken broth. Now, with the peanut butter in it, it's a little cloudy. But, boy, figure out which noodle you want, figure out which piece of meat you want, figure out which fresh vegetables you want. One that's very good is a shredded cucumber with that, and mung bean sprouts with that. If you want to, you can nip off their tails. I don't, but some people want to nip off their tails. I like that one very much. Then, as long as I've got time, I want to give another one that I treat with the same reverence. It's very similar, but no peanut butter. This is a hot, thin hot and sour dressing. The other one is rich hot and sour dressing. This one's thin. 3 tablespoons of soy sauce, 4 tablespoons of vinegar, 2 tablespoons of sesame oil, 1 1/2 hot red pepper oil, 1 teaspoon of brown sugar, 2 tablespoons of salad oil. Again, I use canola. 1 tablespoon of minced ginger, 1 tablespoon of minced garlic, 1 tablespoon of minced scallions, 1 tablespoon of white wine, and then 1 tablespoon of chopped cilantro, and then the chicken broth. That's a little thinner, and that I use more for marinating certain things. And my favorite thing to put this dressing on, I'm sorry it doesn't contain noodles, but it could, couldn't it? Steamed eggplant shreds. Not slices across, but long, narrow slices of, of eggplant. Mm. So they're about finger size. And I put them in the microwave for about 4 or 5 minutes. And then I put this dressing on it. Oh, it's so good. And I can always anticipate, oh, yes, wouldn't this be good with some noodles and some more chopped vegetables and this and that and that and this? That's what most of the recipes are like, are these combinations that are held together by these very rich dressings. But you could, I know I spoke rather quickly, but I have this so that we'll be able to
send it out.
Okay. It's available. That's the rich hot and sour dressing and the thin hot and sour dressing. Really good.
Very good.
Really good.
You know, I have lately come to appreciate more and more the rice wine vinegar, and I guess I didn't really realize why until the other night. I was watching Alton Brown on the Food Channel, and he was doing this program about pickles, and he was talking about vinegars and explained the fact that rice wine vinegar had lower acidity than a lot of other vinegars. And maybe that's what it is that I'm liking it because that it's not quite as sharp as the other vinegar.
If you use the sharper vinegars, you want to learn how to cut them down with water. That'll take care of it. I don't recall that he necessarily said that, and I'll give you a funny what about what. I may have mentioned this before, but I find it so funny how often the folk recipes that we have are taken for granted. You just do that and that and that. And a friend of mine gave me the recipe for making the Greek hortiki salad, and it is large chops of cucumber and tomatoes, and then feta cheese and some other stuff. And then the dressing is red wine and sugar and maybe olive oil and maybe oregano. Depends on which part you came from, whether you put all that in. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd try to make it, and I'd say, oh, I can't stand this. It's too strong. Then I had remembered that my mother used to make a marinade for cucumbers, and she used water and cider vinegar. This recipe calls for red wine vinegar. And so I looked at it, and I said, gosh, this is very high in acid. I'm going to cut this down with water. So I cut it more than half with water, and then presented it, and it was, oh, wow, you really got it. You really got it. I said, the secret is more than half water with the vinegar. What? What? I'm going to see my mother. Went home to the mother and says, Ma, do you ever put water in there? Well, of course. So she would have assumed that anyone who knows anything would know that you don't ever use the vinegar straight like that. Mm-hmm. But rice wine vinegar can come with flavors, and it always has come with flavors. We just don't use them. You use a flavored rice wine vinegar for making sushi, and it's already taken care of. So that's a very hard taste to manufacture if you don't know what you're doing. Mm. And then the seasoned vinegar. And then they've even got seasoned in one or two different mannerisms. I've noticed a couple of those seasons come from.
I have found that sometimes if I'm doing a green vegetable and it's something that's really plain and I don't want to dress it up just a little bit, and it makes sense to have something of a, to me at least, what seems to be sort of an Asian taste, I find that if you blanch them and you cook them tender crisp,
yes,
and then if you just put on a little bit of sesame oil and season rice wine vinegar,
yes,
that's a very it's no big deal, but it's a very nice taste, and it works with green beans and it works with broccoli and it works with asparagus, any of those things that are a little bit bitter.
Now push that just a tiny bit farther. Get some silken tofu, and you put the same vinegar and the same sesame oil, and mash up that tofu, mm-hmm. and use that kind of as a dressing. But mash it up. Don't whip it up and puree it. Mash it with a fork so it's little teeny weeny chunks of that soft tofu. And boy, you'll like. And then sesame seeds. So sesame oil, sesame seeds, and vinegar, and the tofu. Ooh, mm-hmm. You'll like that on your vegetables as well, mm-hmm. especially green beans and or spinach.
All right. Well, let's talk again with our friend from Downs here on line number four.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you that recipe that I gave was not Filipino.
Oh.
I just used the suggested the Patisse just because I had it, but that's not Filipino.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, have I ever told you about noodle salad soup?
Noodle salad? No.
It's ramen.
Yes.
Noodles, and you put whatever you want in them, but it always includes, and this was told to me as being a Thai thing, and I certainly will not swear to that, but you always add some kind of sturdy lettuce or greens
to
spinach, but I often have romaine lettuce that I put in.
Romaine would be good, wouldn't it?
Some chopped tomatoes and some sliced radishes.
And radishes.
And then you add a little bit of, and you can do this to your own bowl, add a little bit of vinegar.
All right.
And I do like to do the rice vinegar because it's a little sweet and not quite so acidic. And a little bit of sesame oil.
And sesame oil at the end, yes.
And then you can add whatever, you know, meat, whatever else you want. But those things are...
Including chopped bologna.
Oh, please. when we lived in Japan, there were Vienna sausage. There was Vienna sausage sushi.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Oh dear.
And Hawaii is crazy for Vienna sausages and Spam. Vienna sausages and Spam, and they would make Asian dishes with that too. Ramen noodles, some tomatoes, radishes, and lettuce, and vinegar and sesame oil.
And then whatever else, you know, tofu, eggs, meat.
Yep.
Other vegetables. You know the drill.
So then those fresh things were just sort of warmed with
the
soup, weren't they?
Right. In fact, you could just add those to your own bowl. And pour the stuff over it.
And I want some scallions chopped on top.
Yeah. I think I forgot that
right
probably.
Here. Yes, scallions. Great. Thank you very much again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks for the call. Well,
now, you see, that's a very easy, quick. That's very easy, quick. Because, it's called, what do you put in ramen noodles? Oh, how about salad? You say, what? But no, tomatoes, radishes, and if you didn't have radishes, you could use daikon.
Mm-hmm.
But they're this big.
Well, people should feel free to experiment. Now, I feel, you know, being as I am an ultra-conservative, people who listen to the show would know that. I would say just because things can be combined doesn't mean they should. But feel free
you're
to
right.
experiment.
You're right. You're right. But know what you're doing.
Well.
Oh, boy.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there for this time around.
Oh, dear.
With the promise that next month, first Wednesday, Doyle, as far as I know, you'd be here in...
Oh, yes.
What'd that be?
What is
May.
What is this?
What is this?
This is April.
This is April. That'd be May.
I didn't have to worry about the show today, so I hadn't worried about the date. I will worry about see you in May.
All right. Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence, stops by here the first Wednesday of every month to talk about cooking. So in May. Thank you.
You betcha.
Thank you.